In a minute, we're going to watch a video clip, but before we do, I want to remind us, as last week I preached, I talked about the Exodus factor. Who was here when we talked about the Exodus factor? The Exodus factor is about being a spiritual Hebrew. Now, we're not Hebrews by birth, but we are spiritual Hebrews, because a Hebrew is someone that's crossed over from one place to another, and the people of Israel were first called Hebrews technically when they crossed over the Red Sea and the Dead Sea. Red Sea and the River Jordan. But you and I are spiritual Hebrews. It's where we have crossed over from our old life, which is Egypt, and we're journeying in our new life towards our promised land, which of course is going to be heaven. But we're in a journey at the moment. We're journeying from one place to another, and in it we're having to trust God. Now there's a verse that I'd like us just to focus on for a minute. And it says, John 5:24, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be judged because they have" what? From what? Aren't you pleased that you've crossed over from death to life? Aren't you pleased that no matter what happens today in this world, in your life, you've already crossed over from death to life? A lot of people fear death. We don't need to fear death. We've already crossed over from death into life. There is a period in our life when we will go through a season where we will take our last breath. But we have already crossed over from death till life. We've left our Egypt. We've crossed over to our new life. And I said last time that as crossover people, we carry three things. We carry his presence, we carry his power, and we carry his authority. Do you remember we talked about that? And I want to remind you of that today. And while I'm away in the next 3 weeks, I want you to put those things in practice. I want you to walk knowing that you walk in power, you walk with his presence, you walk with his power, and you walk with his authority. Church, I want you to start to do that. I want you to start wherever you take every place, wherever you place your feet, like Joshua. You walk with his presence, you take his presence, you, therefore you take his power, and you take his authority. And there is nothing that you face that you cannot deal with in the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Because sometimes when I'm away and I come back, there's lots of things happen while I'm away. That's not because of me, but sometimes the enemy wants to do that. You walk with the power of God and the presence of God and the authority of God in everything you do. So we're on a journey. We're traveling towards our final destination. This is not our home. Unfortunately, many of us have made this our home. This is not our home. Would you tell the person next to you, this is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're on a journey. The Bible talks this word and gives us this word ecclesia. Now, we all know from the New Testament what ecclesia is. Ecclesia is called the church. But ecclesia in its truest form means gathering or congregation or convocation, which is a formal assembly. The church is not a physical organization. It's not a location. It's not a building. Some people might say, where's Oasis Christian Center? And they say it's on the corner of Plymouth Road and Bromsgrove Road. It is as a building, but that is not really the church. The church is the people. The biblical roots of the word ecclesia actually go back to the Old Testament. In the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, again and again, the word ecclesia refers to the nation of Israel. So we know it from a New Testament perspective, but it comes to the nation of Israel. And it actually means more than that. The word ecclesia is translation from the word kahal or kahila. That's not a drink, Joe. Kahila or kahal. It means congregation in Hebrew. It's especially used in the Old Testament to refer to the congregation of Israel as it journeyed through the wilderness. So when the people of Israel were journeying through the wilderness, they were called, if you like, the ecclesia or the kahila. Exodus 16:10. While Aaron was speaking to the whole assembly, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the clouds. So they're journeying in the wilderness when the glory of the Lord appears to them in the cloud. In the book of Acts, we find that Israel, that is on Mount Sinai, they are called the Ecclesia. They're called the church in the wilderness. Acts 7:38, Moses was in the assembly in the wilderness, and the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living words to pass on to us. So Ecclesia, as we look at it, is the Israel, is the people of Israel journeying through the wilderness, but it is also through the church today journeying through the wilderness. We're journeying through a wilderness today. We're on a journey through the wilderness. We've left Egypt. We're not in our home yet, and we're traveling to our promised land. 1 Peter 2 verse 10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Aren't you glad you've received mercy today? I am. I'm glad that I'm not going to face judgment for my sins, because I tell you what, that would cause me to have a nervous breakdown. That would cause me to fear. If I got to stand in front of God and he's not forgiven me of my sins, that I'm not part of his family. But because we've crossed over, because we've invited Jesus Christ into our life, we are now a people. We're now part of his people. We're now part of the Ecclesia. Isn't it really good that if you're a foreign person here today and you've been wanting to get citizenship, you don't have to wait for so many years and to take a test to get into there? If we went to another country and wanted to become a citizen, we'd have to live there for a while and we'd have to take a test and we'd have to pay money. Do you know what? The day you give your life to Jesus, you become a citizen of the Ecclesia. Isn't that good news? So that means if you give your life to Jesus today, you become part of the congregation, part of God's called out people. The church today is the Kehillah. It's a congregation where we are not yet arrived, but we are journeying from our Egypt to the promised land. Now in Hebrew, the word for wilderness is called Midbar. Sometimes when we talk to people about going through wilderness experiences, and you may talk about going through a wilderness experience in your life. They talk about going through hard times. They talk about going through times of loss. They talk about crisis. They talk about tragedy, loneliness, problems, separation. They talk about going through a wilderness experience, and the one thing they want to do more than anything else is get out of it. Escape from it. It's so painful. Yet I want to say to you today, for the Ecclesia, for the called out ones, for the crossover people, the wilderness is a very special place. The wilderness is a very holy place. So we're going to explore today, journeying through the wilderness, journeying through the Midbar. Before we do, which you can get the clip ready in a minute, and do it from 32 seconds onwards if you can. Who knows Psalm 23 verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What has green pastures got to do with the wilderness? Let's watch this video clip for a minute. I was talking to both Daniel Robinson and Jane about what I was going to speak on today, and they both gave me that link, which I think is the reason, one of the reasons I shared that with you today. But did you notice the wilderness, the Midbar, is called green pastures? So when you've read your scriptures, how many of you imagine that that's what the scripture talks about? Did you notice in the psalm it says that we lack nothing in the wilderness? The problem is, when our total reliance is upon ourselves, we do lack things because our reliance is on ourselves. But when our reliance is on God, we will lack nothing. The guy there is called Ray Vanderlyn. He said in this clip that in the desert we learn that the shepherd will provide us what we need for right now. For this very moment, for this very instant, the shepherd will lead us to green pastures right now. The shepherd would look for where the green pastures are and he would lead the sheep so that they may feast on the green pastures. Let's go back to the people of Israel for a minute. During their journey, there was an amazing miracle for a people that were disobedient to God, that were constantly disobedient to God. God provided them a miracle. It was called the mystery bread, the bread from heaven. Exodus 16, verse 14. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Can you imagine if you were wandering in the wilderness and you're complaining that you're hungry and then this stuff appears in the wilderness? Something you've never experienced before. You've experienced hunger before, yes. But what is it that you are experiencing right now? Manna is made up from two words. It's called man and na. Manna, na, na. That's what I used to sing. That was the first ever pop song in the wilderness. The band was called The Wilderness and the song was Manna, na, na. No? Honestly. The people had no idea what it was. They weren't familiar with it. It was a complete surprise and a mystery to them. And God provided manna from heaven. It was the bread of God. It was the blessing of God. And I want to tell you, in the wilderness, God provides blessings from him to us where we'd only receive them in the wilderness journey. It was unique for them at that point in time, for them to receive the blessing that God had, even though they were disobedient to him. When we receive manna from heaven, it is not something we are familiar with. Who wants something to happen today that we're not familiar with? Some weird things happen in the world, you know. You can be in a service and people get gold teeth. And what's all that about? You can be in a service and people have had gold dust come in the building. What's that about? God does some strange things sometimes. Blessings from heaven that we don't expect. Do you know, I think when we come to church, we should expect something totally new. Something new. Because God never runs out of new things. We had some new things today, didn't we? With the kids dancing at the front and Alan almost singing in tune the first time. I'll tell you what, his dancing skills are getting much better now with practice. Do you know what God says quite often? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. But you know the second part of his? Most of you were asleep and you missed it. That was my paraphrase, I'm sorry. But how often do we miss what God is doing? That's why living in the wilderness is so amazing. It's a holy place. It's a miraculous place. It's a place of complete and total reliance and dependence upon the good shepherd. The wilderness is a place of miracles. We've asked for miracles. We've said we want to see God move in a miraculous way. Happens in the wilderness. There's a manna from heaven coming as we journey together with the good shepherd. Remember, the sheep followed the shepherd into the wilderness. Let's look at John chapter 6. We're gonna sort of sideline and come back. John 6:32. Jesus said to them, "Verily, truly, I tell you." Verily, truly, I tell you. That's a good saying, isn't it? Very truly, I tell you. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said, "Always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I believe on our journey now, we're being led by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with me on that? In our services, we're always asking the Lord to lead us. I pray that I'm not leading the way the services go. I'm always saying, "I want to follow you, Jesus." On our journey, we need to totally rely on him. Because when we do, he says this, "I promise to provide all you need for right now." For right now. What's your need right now? Jesus has said, "I will provide your need for right now." Do you believe that? Do you believe that, church? Do you honestly believe he can provide for your need right now, this very second? So what else do we know about the wilderness? We know that in the wilderness, God gave his law. In other words, God spoke. Midbar comes from the word debar, and debar means to speak. The wilderness is a place of God speaking. It is called the place of his voice. That's what debar means. Midbar comes from the word debar. It is the place where God speaks. I want to tell you, on our journey in the wilderness, God speaks. With our utter dependence upon him, God speaks. God spoke to Moses in the Midbar to speak to him through the burning bush. Exodus 3:1-4. Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that through the bush, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to have a look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." That would have been a strange thing. What, noticing this bush on fire? It wouldn't have been a strange thing normally, because bushes went up in fire, went up in flames. But this one kept going up and it wasn't burning away. God was doing a new thing. And he was speaking, getting Moses' attention so Moses could hear. God brought Elijah to the Midbar to speak to him in a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:11-13. The Lord said, "Get out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Did you hear his voice? Still small voice. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Can you hear his still small voice? See, if there's loads of noise around, you won't hear the voice. Because unlike my dad at sometimes who shouts, he had a little shout at me this morning. God doesn't shout to get our attention. He'll do things we've never seen before. But when that happens, the first thing we have to do is go, "What are you saying, Lord?" Takes us in the wilderness to hear him. The Midbar is where God brought his people to speak to them. Deuteronomy 8, 2-3. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Do you know what I think God is saying? God wants to say something to you on your wilderness journey that you've never heard before, ever. In your experience, as long as you've been on that journey, there is an appointment and a time coming for you to hear something from God that you've never, ever heard before. In Hosea 2, verse 14, God speaks through the prophet and tells the people how he's going to comfort them and where he's going to comfort them. And he says, "Behold, I will allure her," that's the people of Israel, "and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her." God spoke through the prophet to show them that they were going to have mercy and hope in the wilderness. They weren't to hear it where they were. They were to come out from where they were into the wilderness to hear what God was saying. In Luke chapter 3, verse 2, we find John the Baptist during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah. Where was he? In the wilderness. Season for us as a church is in the wilderness. The Midbar, the green pastures. Why? Because he wants to speak to you, to me, and through us, to this town, to this nation, and beyond. If we don't hear, we can't give. See, I said to us a few weeks ago, God speaks all the time. God is always speaking. The problem is we do not always hear. Could you just turn the air conditioning up a bit? Because some people are getting a bit cold. And you remember I said it's like having a radio station. We have the old radio station, we had to tune in to get the channel. It's still happening just because we've not tuned in. But we have to tune in to listen. That's why he leads us to the wilderness where the distractions are gone and we might clearly hear his voice. We should not fear or despise the wilderness in our life and the removing of distractions. We should embrace it and take the time to draw closer to him and to hear his voice. The wilderness is just not just a wilderness. It is the place of his voice. Do you want to hear his voice? Do you? Can't hear it sometimes where you are right now. Manna was a miracle with special revelation. John 6, 32-35. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of our lives do not come from earth, but come from heaven. Earthly bread cannot fill us only." We could have today, we could take loads of bread, maybe had loaves of bread and we could just pass it out and it would just not fill us forever. It would fill us for a time. Only heavenly bread, manna from heaven in the wilderness can truly fill us. Earthly bread is for our bodies, but the word of God is for our souls. Do you know, I think when God speaks into our situation in our life and we know it's his voice, have you noticed things change? Have you had that experience when God has just dropped something in your spirit? You know it's from him. Your whole perspective changes, your whole hope changes because you know it's the voice of God. I often look at the life of Jesus and I'm totally amazed at what he did for us, what he did for me. I'm totally amazed that he would choose to do some of the things he did for me. But I have revelation that he had to do that because I have to go through those things. He had to go through those things to understand them. But also, he had to go through those things. So when he asks us to go through things, he's already been before and understands what it's like. And so Jesus himself had to be led by the Holy Spirit into a place called the wilderness. He spent 40 days alone in the wilderness from any distractions, listening to the Father. After 40 days, he was hungry and then the enemy came to tempt him. But for 40 days, he listened to the Father. There was no distractions of the disciples saying, "Can you do this, Jesus? I'm hungry. Can you make me well? Can you do this?" He has to get away from the distractions of people that would constantly come to him. And he had to do something very special in the wilderness. Israel had wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of unfaithfulness and disobedience. You know, at any time, Jesus could have said, "You know what, Father, I'm not doing that for those sinful people. Why should I put myself through this 40 days without water, without food?" Jesus could have done a shortcut because he was still the Son of God. He could have said, "I'll do all that, Jesus, but Father, but I don't want all the hardship stuff that comes with it." Jesus could have walked out the desert at any particular time, but he said, "No. I'm staying here until the Father says it's time for me to leave." The first man, Adam, we know, failed through disobedience. He was disobedient to God. Jesus, the second Adam, was not going to fail through disobedience. He'd been led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's living in the wilderness in obedience to the Father. I want to say, and I believe this, and you can study it for yourself, but I believe this time was crucial for Jesus' ministry. He's had the call of God, the Father upon him. "Behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased." As soon as that happened, he led for 40 days into the wilderness. And I want to say to you that this is something that Jesus had to do personally himself so that he could fulfill his ministry in the way the Father had for him. He had to learn obedience. He had to learn total dependence upon the Father. So when he says, "I talk about bread that you don't understand, bread from heaven," the Father would have sustained Jesus supernaturally, just as God sustained the people of Israel with manna from heaven. There was a miracle for Jesus himself in the wilderness. I also believe, and you can disagree with me on this, that the future of mankind depended upon his preparation in the wilderness. The future of mankind depended upon his preparation in the wilderness. How many of us would go to a doctor and say to the doctor, "How long have you been a doctor?" "Oh, about 3 days. How many of us would put our lives in the hands of somebody that's had no training, no preparation? That's why it takes a long time for a doctor to become a doctor, because there's lots of things to do. I wouldn't go to a doctor that's just set up at surgery and go, "Oh, by the way, I've been in the job 3 days. It's a bit of a silly illustration, but do you know what I mean? The whole of mankind depended on Jesus' preparation, I believe, in the wilderness. He got the Father's perspective upon his calling. It was time to hear the Father's voice and to get his perspective on all things. Jesus said, "I've come to do the will of my Father." God the Father had placed Jesus in the wilderness, and God the Father was going to sustain Jesus in the wilderness. God is calling us on a journey in the wilderness, and he will sustain us for everything that we need right now in this situation. In the Old Testament, we learn that God had humbled the Israelites by allowing them to go hungry in the wilderness and then miraculously supplied them with manna from heaven. His purpose was to teach them that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And in the New Testament, Jesus showed us that through this wilderness experience, that human life does not depend on material desires, but upon the obedience to the Father's will. Does that make sense? See, so often we ask God for so many things that we don't need, but we think we need them, the more God doesn't say, I'll give you all your wants, does he? Has he ever said that? He said, I'll give you all that you need. And I think for some of us in this journey, we're learning actually what do we need and what do we want. And the needs God is providing for us, and we're going to learn that. For Jesus, when the devil came to tempt Jesus, and he was tired, it says he was tired, he was hungry. I think it says he was tired. It definitely says he was hungry. And when we're hungry, we're a bit grumpy. The devil says, you know, Jesus, you can have everything you want. You can turn this bread into stone. You can have earthly bread to fulfill this hunger. But Jesus says, no, no, no. What I want is heavenly bread that will sustain me through my calling and ministry on this earth to redeem mankind. You see, for Jesus, obedience was everything to the Father. It meant everything to him. I want to ask us a question today. It's a serious question. Is obedience to your heavenly Father more important to you than anything else right now? Whatever he asks you to do, is obedience to him more important than anything else to you right now? More important than your family? More important than your career? More important than your comfort? More important than your wants? Because I think God is challenging us to be an obedient people. As he places those things in front of us, is it more important for you to be obedient in your mind? Jesus modeled complete dependence upon the Father. I'm nearly finished. Almost. An hour. Who wants a season of growth? Spiritual growth in our life now. Who really seriously, honestly wants spiritual growth? Do you really want it? I said earlier, and I'll repeat it again, when people go through times of wilderness, they often compare it to going through hard times, times of loss, crisis, tragedy, loneliness, hardships, problems and separation. I want to say to us, on our journey, I believe that God is taking us now. We will grow. And these are the things that we're going to learn. Is that all right? So in our homework book, where we're going to do our homework after the sermon, these are the things that we're going to learn. We're going to learn the discipline and art of depending on God. It's no longer in our own strength that we're going to do things. No longer we're going to do things just because we've got talents and gifts. We're going to go to another level. Okay. So Brian, can I just talk to you for a minute? So I know you love to preach the word of God. Don't you? You do. You love to share the word of God with people. Well, I believe over your life you're going to go to another level, because another level of dependence on God as you've never been before. And you're going to get revelation of scriptures just because you've been a Christian for a number of years, quite a few. Doesn't mean to say you're not going to go in a new level of understanding. I could prophesy over many of you today in this room. You're going to go through a new level of dependence on God because you're going to learn the discipline and art of depending upon God. God is going to break in some people in our church where we've become self-sufficient. We've done things in our own strength. God no longer wants us to do anything in our own strength. Is that okay? If we do things in our own strength for him, we'll fail. He now wants to supernaturally minister into our lives and talk through us and speak to us and use us. So we're in his strength, with his presence, with his power, in his authority. For some, it's going to be a time of testing. God does test us, okay? Why did he lead the people of Israel into the wilderness? To test them. God does test us to say, do you really want this? When I was trying to learn to run for Birchfield Harriers, my dad used to run for Birchfield Harriers. I had to train. And the guy would test me to see, did I really want to do? Did I really want to be part of this team? Did I really want to run for this club? And he would make me run and I'd finish and I'd get to the end and I'm like, oh, come, I had it now. And he'd say, do it again. He'd test me and test me and test me. Times I wanted to really do something to him. That's not a good illustration because God doesn't treat us that way, but there's a time of testing coming if we really want to grow in him. It's a time of preparation, okay? And what is the preparation for us? You see, I believe this with all my heart, that God has called us to make a difference in our neighbours, with our neighbours, with our friends, in this town, in our nation, and above, past our nation. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? See, I prophesied years ago of certain people in our worship team that they would meet royalty and that they would be used in a way that they've never experienced before. And two of those worship team, one's not with us now, one's pastoring a church somewhere else, have done that. But I believe from within this congregation, people will speak into the nation. I said that years ago. I haven't changed that, my thought on it. People from within this congregation will speak into the nation. But the preparation time is absolutely essential. And the preparation time happens in the wilderness. And just what happened in the wilderness where Jesus prepared for his calling and ministry to mankind, for the future of mankind. So what happens on our journey in the wilderness prepares us for the future of many people's lives that you and I are going to minister to. Did you notice the word you and I? Not me. Because some of you will meet and will do greater things than I'll ever do. I prayed over Joshua, my son, and I believe that Joshua will do greater things than I'll ever do. God has got his call upon his life. I'm not going to embarrass him, but when he was a young lad, I used to pray for him every night. I wasn't at home much, but I would come home and pray with him and go out. And God said to me, whatever you do for me, Robin, the call of God upon Joshua is going to be greater. But what I want to say to you in this room is this. You are called, every one of you, to minister to many, many people. Many people. Not just the one and the two, because this is what this church is called for. When I came for my interview to come back to this church, when I met with David Farduli, David Farduli and I talked about something that God had put on my heart and upon his heart. And this church is not called to be an insignificant church. I'm not talking about size in numbers. I'm talking about what happens with the people within the church to our town and our cities and our nation and beyond. And if you think you're only called to do little things, you're mistaken. You've not heard the voice of the Lord yet in your life. What, me? Yes, you. But to do it, there's a preparation time which you must spend listening to the Lord. You need to hear his voice for yourself. You need to seek his face and listen for the still small voice and come away from the distractions of the world, all the things that are happening in your life. You need to come away from those things and to hear his voice. The last years for me, the last 5 years for me, maybe six, have been probably, well, not probably, there's no doubt about it, some of the most difficult things that I've faced in my life. Some of you have faced more difficult things than I have. Some of you are going through difficult things now. Things that could have crushed me. Things that could have called me to come out of the ministry. If any of you want to become a pastor, don't. unless God's called you to do it, then do it, because he will sustain you. And I'm not decrying what it's, you know, oh, poor me because I'm a pastor. It's a great calling. It is a great calling. But it's a calling where quite often whatever you do is wrong in people's eyes. But you're called to please God, not to please man. So that sometimes when I don't please you, that's one of the reasons. But would I change some of the heartbreak moments in the last 5 years? Would I change those times when I've lost somebody that I love dearly? Would I change those times of tears and sitting with people and having conversations with people that have broken my heart in 5 years? I asked myself the question when I prepared this sermon. Do you know what my answer is? No. No, I wouldn't change it. Why wouldn't I change it? Because I've learned something in that experience. I've learned more to hear his voice. Now, I don't hear his voice all the time, and I don't hear voices. But I'm learning to understand when he speaks, and I'm learning to know it's his voice and not another voice. And I'm starting to step out in faith in ways that I've never done before, because I know that God's called me to minister to other people, and not just a few, but to many. And it's not about me. Do you know, I've been with Christians at times that have prayed for others and they've said, I'm going through such a wilderness experience. And the other Christian says, let's agree together, you know. God doesn't want you to be in the wilderness. God wants you to come out of it, and God wants you to prosper in everything you do. And inside I'm going, no, don't pray that. God wants you where you are right now. He's led you there for a purpose. I'm starting to write a book about finishing well. I've done a few chapters. I've put it down for a little while. But I'm thinking of writing a second book called Get Me Out of Here, I'm a Christian. I can think of all illustrations of why we want shortcuts out of the wilderness. We can all think of ways, I've had enough in here. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable. Can I just tell you now, and I have finished because you've been listening so well. What does God want to say to you in the wilderness? Does God want you out the wilderness? I don't think so. The next 6 months in this church, I want us to embrace our journey. I want us to understand this is not our final destination. This is not our promised land. There are no shortcuts in this church. I'm not going to bring any shortcuts in. I'm not going to put a plaster and go there, and God wants you to come out of this wilderness and experience something different. Do you know what I'm going to be praying is? That you'll stay in the wilderness until the Lord Jesus Christ tells you it's time to come out. It's a place where you're going to learn, a place to hear the shepherd's voice above all others, a place to learn to overcome temptation. Jesus had to overcome temptation in the wilderness. Some of us have fallen again and again and again by temptation. We're going to learn to overcome temptation and be victorious right now. This year is going to be a year of major change for you. And it's going to be a time of preparing ourselves for the calling you have to minister to this lost and dying world, and for you to enjoy total dependence on God. And you are going to lack nothing. And you are going to lie down in green pastures. And you're just going to enjoy the Good Shepherd. So, we have an adventure ahead. Let's see what God's going to do. Come at every service expecting God to speak, to surprise us. Alan.